right, listen, heads up, if you are listening to the program tonight, wherever, however, online, satellite radio, over the air, broadcast radio, whatever, we are having some violent, tornadic weather down here, all over the South for that matter. If you go to the Weather Channel right now and just take a look at Atlanta, woo! If this program is interrupted because of a tornado or power outage or whatever, our syndicator, Dial Global, is running in tandem with this program, this live program right now, a recorded program that we did, I don't even remember what it is, a couple, three, 4 months ago maybe. They're running that one in tandem with this live program so that if something does happen and we lose power, they're going to flip to whatever that program is. So if you hear an abrupt change in topic, tone, and everything else, that is the reason why. All right. So, you know, as long as we can, you know, as long as we're not knocked off the air, we'll be here for the duration. How about that statement by John Kyle, and then the retraction? I mean, these Republicans, I don't know how to put it. They're the dumbest collection of morons ever put together. Oh, by the way, this hour is sponsored by Alvin White. Alvin White, sponsoring the first hour. Thanks, Alvin. No message, just sponsorship. Thanks, Alvin. John Kyle is one of the dumbest creatures, I think, in a political party that is chock-a-block with half-wits, morons, even the ones who try to come across as smart and intelligent and witty. I mean, can you imagine a Mitch McConnell being funny? Can you imagine this? Who's this? Who's the character who has Ryan, Paul Ryan? Can you imagine these people? I mean, every time one of these clowns opens his or her mouth, out comes spiders and bats and just the damnedest stuff. I have never in my life seen a collection of morons more evident as morons than this crowd. Well, what happened was, I'm sure you know this by now, but just to recap, during the all the tension and the ugliness about the budget, they're going to cut the budget. We're going to cut the budget. They finally wound up cutting $38 billion, which really aren't cuts at all. Some of it is, only on the you know, the poor people and people who desperately need help. But that's what Republicans do, so don't be shocked by that. But John Kyle was on the Senate floor last week and insisted that any bill must cut Planned Parenthood's funding. I think Planned Parenthood gets, what, 6 or 7% of their funding from tax dollars. But anyway, in the process of making this half-assed demand on the Senate floor, what a jerk this guy is. But, you know, Arizona, what do you expect? Sorry, if you live in Arizona, move! Anyway, Kyle said the following. Everybody goes to clinics, to doctors, to hospitals, so on. Some people go to Planned Parenthood. But you don't have to go to Planned Parenthood to get your cholesterol or your blood pressure checked. If you want an abortion, you go to Planned Parenthood. And that's well over 90% of what Planned Parenthood does. In fact, the exact opposite is true. Now, you've heard me say on this program a million times until I've either got it solidly in your head, something you already knew. I mean, I don't educate people here. I don't do anything except reinforce what you already know. And you do the same for me. All Republicans are liars. Every single Republican is, bottom line, a liar. Or he or she would not be a Republican. In order to be a Republican, you cut a deal with your own personal devil that you are going to lie as often as you care to lie. And then you proceed. Every single Republican, man, woman, boy, girl, whoever, Jew, Gentile, gay, straight, I don't care who or what you are. If you are a Republican, you are a goddamn liar. Now, your lying is selective. I'll grant you that. But you are still a liar. Every single member of the House and the Senate that is a Republican is a liar. That's how they begin. They begin as liars, and then they build their political career on that. The only people who vote Republican, vote for these liars, are other liars. Hello? That's easy. So, regarding Planned Parenthood, the exact opposite of what Kyle said is true. More than 90% of the healthcare services provided by Planned Parenthood is preventive in nature. It provides more than a million, this is every year, a million cervical cancer screenings, 830,000 breast exams, 4 million exams, treatments, and tests involving STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. The federal funding received by the organization goes strictly toward those needs, like birth control and annual exams. In fact, just 3% of Planned Parenthood's work is related to abortion. And Planned Parenthood does not use any federal money for abortion. Now, I've also said, and you know this, that Republicans hate women. Women are to, how far can I go? Women are to have sexual congress with, or they're to clean the house or raise the kids, but they are to shut up and do what they're told. All Republican men hate all Republican women, all women. And not a small percentage of Republican women hate other Republican women. Hate, ignorance, and lies. Those three are the cornerstones of being a Republican. You must have that. If you don't have an inclination to hate, to lie, what was the third thing? Then you can't be a Republican. You evil bastards. God, I hate them. So anyway, after Kyle makes a statement, his press secretary comes out and says, Senator Kyle's statement was not intended to be factual. Of course not. Nothing they say is intended to be factual. It's intended to stir up the dumbasses that vote for them. The other ones whose lives are nothing but lies and misery and pain and greed and bigotry and prejudice and hate. So, of course, the press dude or dudette or the spokesperson, whoever, another one of these slimy creatures that work in a Republican senator's office comes out with a statement. Well, what the senator said on the floor of the Senate was not intended to be a factual statement. Well, then what the hell was it intended to be? Exactly. A lie. That's all they do. Get the lie into the public record. It's just astonishing. You know, I get a lot of emails from these half-witted Republican geek dumbasses who, you know, well, you're only on three stations. What do you know? Oh, bite me. But I get these emails all the time. I really do. And, you know, they take great offense at the fact that I say every single Republican is a filthy-ass liar.
Oh, no, what are you talking about? Oh, what about Barack Obama? He was born in Kenya.
You know, and I just, it's just astonishing to me, because no matter how many times I say they're liars, no matter how many half-witted emails I get from these barely articulate right-wing drone heads, the proof always comes from the mouths of the Republicans. Right?
listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Past the hour, and again, the hour is sponsored by Alvin White. You know, what are you going to say about Republicans? You know, they are liars, they are cowards, and they're filled with hate. Every single one of them. There are no exceptions here, no exceptions whatsoever. And I think that's evident in the choice of so many Republicans. Where it concerns their religious beliefs. They believe in a kind of violent, vicious, hate-filled, unforgiving Christianity that their own avatar, their own so-called Son of God, would just kick their asses up and down the street if he were really a son of God and was listening to this nonsense. I think he would make a special trip down here or over here or up here, wherever. Yeah, you know, I get involved in Christian theological superstitions and stories and tales and I get lost. But their avatar would show up, what I'm trying to say, and just, you know, probably just slap the hell out of them. Say, that's not what I told you. That's not what I taught you. What the hell is wrong with you people? But they pick that kind of religion, and I don't know why. I have no idea. I guess it's because they are just essentially Republicans, like I've said for years on this program. And it's only been in the past 20 years. I fully admit that there were Republicans years ago. Hell, I had them in my own family that were extremely tolerable, nice people, decent. Believed in the ultimate advancement of this society, not in the destruction of this society and the replacement of this society with some kind of a neo-feudal system. But all that went away. That's all gone. The Republican Party's not about that anymore. It's about punishment. If you're poor, if you're a union member, if you are a middle class or working class, if you are gay, if you are Jewish, if you are Muslim, if you are anything, if you're a woman, anything other than a hard-ass right-wing, Jesus-believing, white male, fundamental Republican, you're crap to these people. You're just crap. I mean, one name, or one, pick one. Rick Santorum. What's this guy, the former governor of Arkansas, Huckabee. Huckabee. I mean, these people are just evil. Just evil. So, you know, the only thing you can do about this is what Stephen Colbert did, you know, and a lot of people who are blogging and just pointing out the asininity of these freaks. Kyle is just the latest one. I believe he's already said he's not going to run for re-election, right? He's going to retire, go get a job in the nuclear industry or the poison food industry or, I don't know, the medical device industry and come up with something that when it's installed in 80,000 or 800,000 people, then it starts to disintegrate and everybody dies. I mean, that's what Republicans do. That's all they do. So the answer to the question that I've had for years, why do people vote for these morons? Very simple, because they are morons who are doing the voting. They're beyond redemption. They're so caught up, Republican voters, so caught up in their narrow little nasty-ass lives. The poet said, most men lead lives of quiet desperation. That's a Republican for you. There's no adventurous spirit there. There's no curiosity. There's no interest in science, literature, unless it's about Revelation. No interest in music or dance or art or romance or poetry. They just have their nasty ass little narrow lives where they try to find some other group to target poor people, gay people, these people, those people. I'm better than you. I'm going to hell. I'm going to heaven. You're going to hell. God, I get sick of them. They're racist. They hold on to their ignorance and their stupidity the way normal people hold on to a lover. It's just astonishing. John Kyle? He's only the latest example of this. There'll be more. Because Republicans, conservatives, they cannot escape this curse that they've put on themselves. They can't get away from it. They are doomed. Every one of these miserable bastards will die knowing or fearing that somebody else, someplace, somewhere is happier than they are. And you know what? It's true.
Against the Flying Monkey Right with Mike Malloy.
Before the hour, I'm wooing because it's starting to rock and roll outside here in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains where the Malloy Studio is located. Remember, if we disappear, our syndicator is running in tandem with this program, one we recorded weeks ago. So if all of a sudden you hear an abrupt shift in topic and tone, everything else, you'll know that we've been struck. This hour is sponsored by Alvin White. Thank you, Alvin. Have you got the Obama? You heard about this? It almost makes me start to think, well, you're being too hard on this guy, Malloy. I don't know. Here's the background. Obama was in Chicago at a fundraiser. And with some, I guess, some heavy-duty contributors. And the meeting went private, and they asked the press to leave. And the press left. But there's a rule about microphones. The first rule of microphones, when you're around one, assume it's on. No matter what. How many times have I not followed that rule and wound up dropping an F-bomb that went over the air and causes our affiliates to go utterly berserk, which I don't blame them. But that's the rule one of microphones. When you're around one, assume it's on. There was a microphone on where Obama was, and it was a direct feed into the press room, which was about 20 feet away, behind a wall or something. So CBS picked up what Obama was saying. And we're going to play it for you. You can hear him addressing these Republican thug bastards. in their attempts to roll back health care reform and restrict Planned Parenthood, you know, on and on and on. So let's just go ahead and play it. This is Barack Obama at a fundraiser with a live mic.
And that's, you know, what the budget debate was all about, was can we transport issues that have very little to do with the budget and have everything to do with a particular agenda, and can we use the budget as a way to chip away? So, you know, they had a provision on repealing health care. They had a provision on basically repealing the EPA. They had a provision on, you know, making sure that we didn't do anything on climate change. And I remember at one point in the negotiations, one of Boehner's staff people pipes up and says, "You don't understand, Mr. President. You know, we've lost on, you know, on health care. We've lost on the EPA. We've given that up. We've got to have something for our, to sell to our caucus." And I said to them, I said, "Let me tell you something. I spent a year and a half getting health care passed. I had to take that issue across the country, and I paid significant political costs to get it done. The notion that I'm going to let you guys undo that in a six-month spending bill?" He said, you want to repeal health care? Go at it. We'll have that debate. But you're not going to be able to do that by nickel and diming me in the budget. You think we're stupid?" And that, but that is going to, we're going to see this again. We're going to see this on the debt limit vote. This is going to be the strategy going forward. Trying to do things that they can't do legislatively through, under the guise of cutting spending. I mean, on healthcare, eliminating the healthcare bill would cost us $1 trillion. It would add $1 trillion to the deficit. So, and when Paul Ryan says his priority is to make sure that we're, you know, he's just being America's accountant and, you know, trying to, you know, be responsible. I mean, this is the same guy who voted for two wars that were unpaid for, voted for the Bush tax cuts that were unpaid for, voted for the prescription drug bill that cost as much as my health care bill but wasn't paid for.
Yeah, well, Paul Ryan is a dumbass. I mean, come on. There's nothing that Ryan says. What is he, the chairman of finance committee or something? I don't even know. He comes up with this idea. What they've done now, House Republicans forced through this partisan budget blueprint today, that if it ever became law, which it will not, would cut federal spending by an estimated $5.8 trillion over the next decade. Essentially, eliminating Medicare that has no chance of passage in the Democratic-controlled Senate. But it's going to be the blueprint that these House scum, the Republicans, bring up every time there is something else, you know, another budget, any kind of appropriations, any talks with the Senate over how to reduce annual federal deficits, yada, 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 yada. But it's nonsense. Paul Ryan, who I don't know, Paul Ryan, all of a sudden, he's got a Limbaugh complex, you know what I'm saying? Or a Glenn Beck complex, strutting around like cock of the walk, like, "Ooh, I am the man." No, you're not. You're a punk. You're not a man. You're not the man. You're not a man. You're a punk. You're a little boy who's playing way out of your league. The vote in the House on this Republican blueprint was drafted by Paul Ryan, Republican of Wisconsin. What the hell has happened in Wisconsin? Oh, my God. The vote was absolutely on party lines, 235 to 193. Not a single Democrat voted for it. Four Republicans voted against it. They must have been drunk. Oh, no, they must have been teabaggers. That's right. Four teabaggers said, no, goddammit, we want to close everything. This doesn't go far enough. You know, so it was strictly a party line vote. Anytime you see a Republican voting no on something put together by another Republican, you know that it just wasn't vicious and mean and hateful enough. That's all that means. That doesn't mean that there were four Republicans who all of a sudden developed some sort of a moral principle to their governance or developed some kind of an ethical standard or all of a sudden decided to be a decent human being. No, it just means that it didn't go far enough for these greedy bastards, so they voted no. So Ryan then said, the spending spree is over. We cannot keep spending money we don't have. Well, if that's the case, punk, why don't you go after the Pentagon budget? We now spend $1 trillion a year when you count everything. The official budget is what, around 800 billion, excuse me. Jesus, these numbers just keep getting bigger and bigger. $800 billion, that's the part we know about. The rest of it is the stuff on the so-called black budget, the black defense budget, where nobody's supposed to know about it, you know. This is money we use to pay off people like Harmid Karzai and Halliburton and, you know, the real vampires, the real sons of bitches who are determined to just devour this country. So listen, punk Ryan, you want to do something? You really think the spending spree is over? Start there. Start there. Start with the war budget, the murder budget. Go ahead, Paul Ryan. Start there. That's step one for you, punk. You know what step two is? Make certain that American corporations and the America mega rich pay their goddamn share. Gee, what a radical idea. Well, there's Malloy talking class warfare again. You bet your ass I am. So, Ryan, you punk, you bully, you know, instead of going after working class people who are struggling just to keep their heads out of the muck, instead of going after poor people who are sinking in the muck, instead of going after kids and women and old people, you cowardly bastard, go after the people that have the money. Be like Willie Sutton. When they busted him and said, Willie, why do you keep robbing banks? And he said, because that's where the money is. Paul Ryan, the spending spree is over. Well, Ryan, you're just like your buddy John Kyle over in the Senate. You're a liar, you're a coward, and you're eaten up with hate. God, I wish these people would just get off my planet. The woman of his heart no longer cares. Best to call it quits and go your separate way. Playing that cheating game only leads to hurt and pain and cause each other unhappy days. Cheating in the next room, making plans to be with them soon, talking softly on the telephone.
No more Mr. Nice Guy. Here's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. Coming up next hour, we're going to do podcast trivia, give away a free subscription. Thanks to Sean, who donated 12 of these things several weeks ago. And we have, you know, we've had several people make big donations. Most people like to remain anonymous, but that's next hour. Well, actually about 45 minutes from now. We'll do it at the bottom of the next hour. Our good friend Sheila, who does stuff at Op-Ed News and other things, says, regarding Obama, she says, I don't know. There's no way I believe the Obama folks didn't set up the open mic, quote, quote. He can't officially say the things about Boehner and Ryan, but if it's off the record, over a mic that was inadvertently left open, the media will grab it and run. Given what he's given in on for the last 2 years, what do you think he would be saying if he wasn't revving up for his reelection campaign? Think Bradley Manning, Sheila. Well, that's a good point. You never know anymore what's real, what isn't real. And yeah, I just had, Sheila, I just had a moment's waver because I'm still wanting this guy to grow a pair and start being the president of the United States. I'm still hoping that at some point, and I realize it's not going to happen, you know. I really do. But there's still that little part of me, right? I sound like just a evil, cynical bastard on the radio, and I know I do. But there's still a part of me that just hope. And it's ridiculous, and I feel like a moron doing it. But, you know, hope, maybe, could it be, will he, please, okay, come on, do it now. it's just not going to happen. And like Sheila says, think Bradley Manning. You're damn right. Think Bradley Manning. I'll tell you what. You want to know how, given all the waffling and the hesitancy and negotiating against his own poor self that this president has done, given all that, I would probably do, if not a 180, at least a 120, if he would do what he knows the Constitution requires. He's a constitutional scholar, right? Huh? Big time, right? Right? And sit down at his desk and write an order absolutely freeing Bradley Manning. Now, if they want to bring him up on charges at some point that he violated broke some law where it concerns, you know, keep your mouth shut in the military, okay. But get his ass out of solitary, get him out of the torture chamber he's in, get him away from the goddamn Marine Corps. What's an Army private doing being held in a Marine brig? What? And then make sure that the charges against him are rational, unlike the garbage they've thrown up against the wall against this kid so far. You do that, Mr. President, and I'll do a 120. Okay, I'll do an 80. Because you're still, Mr. President, nowhere near fulfilling the promises you made. I'm talking about the ones you made, not the ones we thought you made. The ones you made. So you want an 80, 90 degree turn on a lot of progressives? Not just me. You don't give a damn about me. I don't exist. I do not exist. But I'll just tell you, Mr. President, I'm talking to the hand right now, but I'll tell you, Mr. President, if you want to move progressives a little bit back toward you, I'll tell you where to start. Start with Bradley Manning. That's all you have to do. Stand up for the Constitution. Protect this kid. Retract your statement. Pull a John Kyle and say, well, you know, what I said about Bradley Manning was not factual. I just said it because I'm looking for votes from the crazy right-wingers. Because, you know, I really want to be president another 4 years. You think there's a chance of that happening? This hour, did I mention this hour has been sponsored by Alvin White? Alvin, thank you very much. We appreciate the sponsorship. Margo in Seattle sent me an email. Where did America go? It's pretty succinct. She said, we as a nation have been steadily regressing for the last 30 years. What does it take to preserve a true democracy? Honest and strong elected representatives, an informed and active population, a national desire to curb greed and manipulation of economic conditions at home and abroad, an equally strong desire to curb racism, gender bias, sexual bias, religious fanaticism. Does it take a desire to value critical thinking in our educational institutions? Where did the authentic journalists go? Should the media continue to be nothing more than entertainers simply to increase ratings? Where did America go while we were all sleeping? Margo in Seattle. Where did it go? You know, I think it's still there. I just think we need to probably open up huge re-education camps. Kind of like the Vietnamese did, like the Chinese did. You know, just open up huge re-education camps. Now, don't freak. I'm not talking about, you know, something bad. I'm talking about something good. And then take all the Republicans in Congress and put them into these camps and re-educate them. And then when they come out, you see, all the half-wits who voted for them will just be so confused that they'll be like little Republican bots wandering around bumping into stuff, you know, just like, what? I mean, are we against the queers now? Are we against the Planned Parenthood now? Are we against women now? What are we, I don't know. Did you hear what our senator said? Did you hear what our representative said? Oh my God, what are we going to do? You know, once you take the head of the snake and cut it off, the rest of the snake just kind of, we'll be right back. Just kidding. Once again, if you're just joining us, we have, if you watch the Weather Channel, we're having some really violent weather down here, like most of the country, or a big section of the country has had for the past few days. This go around, it just keeps coming and coming and coming. And we had tornado warnings in this county and all around the Molloy compound, all around the metro Atlanta area. So our syndicator, Dial Global, is so much wanting us to stay on the air that they are running in tandem with this program, recorded program that we put together. I don't know. We broadcast it several months ago. And it's running on the same clock as this one's running. So if you hear an abrupt change in the topic or what have you, it'll be because we were knocked off the air and our friends at in Denver flipped us over to the pre-recorded program, so there won't be, you know, great big chunks of empty sound. Think about that. Empty sound. Whew. That's heavy, man. Going out over the air. So, anyway, just so you know. This hour is sponsored by Soldiers for Peace International. Soldiers for Peace International. Thanks, guys, gals, soldiers. Soldiers for Peace International. This is from, got this email this afternoon. It's referencing last night's show. from Ray. Mike, your last caller is correct. I'm a 63-year-old Vietnam vet. With the repugnix and the wimp in chief, there is no hope for the average American. I abhor violence. I lost my blood brothers in Nam. The same people who want me to be loyal are the murderers of my buddies. Now is the time for violent revolution is gone. I'm not sure what that sentence means, Ray. Now is the time for violent revolution is gone. Okay. We torture people. The same thing we protested in every other country of the world. We are no better. Thanks to W, he has lowered us to the level of every dictator, etc., expletive ever in the world. I'm glad I'll die soon. I don't want to live anymore. Our military is now no better than the KGB, the GRU, the Chinese, and the Mafia. Let me now go in some kind of peace. Interesting email. Thanks, Ray. I'm not exactly sure what's happening with you, but your email is pretty strong. What else we got here? We were talking the other night when we were doing church. Was it Thursday? Was that last night? Was it? Yeah, that's right. Wednesday night. Wednesday night was church. And I was telling this one story about the preacher down in Dublin, Georgia, who was taking his congregation, all 100 of them or whatever, and going out to pray at a gas station so that Jesus would cut the price of gas and, you know, just that kind of nonsense. Anyway, I get this email from David. Mike, when I was in Chicago, I had to take a bus to Atlanta. I had to go with a couple from Dublin, Georgia, and they talked and acted like they were from the cast of Deliverance. They talked slow like they were retarded. And in Atlanta, Greyhound Terminal, the lady sitting next to me was from Marietta, the heart of Cobb County, and she was wearing a cross. She looked like a scary, mean, old, opinionated Republican. I mentioned she should listen to Mike Malloy on the radio. He knows the Bible and all major religions better than anyone I know. Signed, David. Well, now, in fairness, I don't think the people in Dublin. Dublin is almost in the low country. It's, well, not quite, but it's down in, like I said, below the Nat line in south central Georgia. The Deliverance people are north of here, even further north from the foothills here where we produce this program. The foothills of the North Georgia Mountains. You get up about 70 miles north of here. Whew, you know, it's kind of territory I don't go to because, you know, I have like an Evolve Fish decal on my pickup truck. What else? I have an Amnesty decal, and I have one from the Friends National Legislative Committee, FNLC, that says war is not the answer, right? So I'm already a three-time loser. So what we do when I do go to North Georgia Mountains, I leave all that stuff on, but I take a rifle or a shotgun and put it in the gun rack in the back of the pickup, and no problem. Nobody ever says anything about those decals. If they do, I'll just say, "Yeah, this is my Democrat brother's truck." You know, oh, damn, you believe this? Amnesty International. What the hell's that? Some commie. So, Arizona is getting crazier and crazier and crazier. Late last night, the Arizona legislature gave its final approval. Now it's up to Governor Jan Brewer. They gave their final approval to a proposal that would require Barack Obama and any other presidential candidate to prove they are U.S. citizens before their names can appear on the Arizona ballot. Arizona would become the first state to require this. Republican Representative Carl Seal of Phoenix in the Arizona legislature, the author of the bill, said the bill wasn't about opposition to Obama. Oh, no. This bill is about the integrity of our elections, he said. Sure, it always is, isn't it, you punk ass? It always is, isn't it? Huh? Another punk. Another Republican punk. Oh, God. 13 other states have considered similar proposals this year. They were defeated in Arkansas, Connecticut, Maine, and Montana, but not in Arizona. Hell no! The bill won final approval from the State House of Representatives in Arizona by a 40-16 vote. 40 to, Jesus God. Now, here's the backstory. These so-called birthers, like Donald Trump, contend that Obama is, you know, he's not supposed to be the president of the United States because he was actually born in Kenya. The Arizona proposal, this bill, that Governor Jan Brewer obviously will sign because she's crazier than a goddamn loon herself. You ever look at that woman? Take a good look at her. Woo! Lord have mercy. I mean, we have crazy people here in the South, you know, whose mother and father are usually brother and sister. But I tell you, Governor Brewer, man. Oh, is it time for a break? Okay, well, I'll tell you what the Arizona proposal says when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
With the truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. All right, after the next break, we're going to do podcast trivia. Now, I need to tell you, you know, usually they're fairly quick, and, you know, the question is like bit-a-bit-a-boom, and then the answer is bit-a-bing, bit-a-boom. tonight's question is rather lengthy, and you have your four choices, A, B, C, and D, are also rather lengthy. So, if you're going to play podcast trivia tonight, after the next break, you better be good. The number here is 877-996-2556. Now, where was I? Oh, yeah. Back to Arizona. This Arizona proposal now that is the result of the birther insanity that is, you know, just another form of Republican horse hockey in this country that is at once funny as hell, but at the same time, extremely dangerous and stupid and typically Republican. But the Arizona proposal that has passed the legislature is now waiting for crazy-eyed Jan Brewer's signature. This proposal will require political parties and presidential candidates to hand in affidavits stating a candidate's citizenship and age, and to provide the candidate's birth certificate and a sworn statement saying where the candidate has lived for 14 years. If candidates don't have a copy of their birth certificate, they could meet the requirement by providing baptismal or circumcision certificates. Oh, my God! Oh, I can't handle this! I can't handle this! Circumcision certificates! Jesus Christ, you people are insane. Oh, I guess that's in case a Jew runs, right? Huh? Oh, my God. Hospital birth records, other documents. If it can't be determined whether candidates who provided the documents in place of their birth certificates are eligible to appear on the ballot, if it can't be determined, you know, when you show up with your little statement and say, yeah, we took about a quarter inch off his penis when he was 3 days old. If that's not good enough, the Secretary of State will be able to set up a committee to help determine whether the requirements have been met. The names of the candidates can be kept off the ballot if the Secretary of State doesn't believe the candidates meet the citizenship requirement. O-M-F-G. A circumcision committee. I cannot. I mean, some of this stuff is so out there, so bizarre, that all I'm capable of doing is sitting here and using crappy language to make fun of it. You know, to say, oh, look at these dumbass. Circumcision certificate? Okay, let's start. New York Times had it down pretty good today. Let's start with Senate President Russell Pierce out there in Arizona. And every senator who voted for the bill and every House member who plans to, I guess they did late last night, they all should gladly and swiftly post their sworn affidavits along with their birth certificates, baptismal and circumcision records online for the world to see. That is, if they're men, you know, if they're not men. You know, that's the thing I don't get. Circumcision. Oh, I guess if it's a man. Okay. Post it all online for the world to see. Now, if they're serious about this, what the hell are they waiting for? Huh? Come on! Senate President Russell Pierce out there in Arizona. We want to know if you're a real citizen. Where were you born? When? What time? Who's your mama? Who's your daddy? Did you have a circumcision? Show us your baptismal record. Die. God! None of this has anything to do with President Obama or the claim that he's not an American citizen. Like I said at the beginning, this is an integrity measure. This is not meant to be factual. It's just, you know, fun and games in the Arizona legislature. They, you know, they used to shoot Indians out there, right? Now they do this kind of stuff. It's all for sport, right, boys? Did I mention this hour is sponsored by Soldiers for Peace International? We'll be back after the break. Trivia, we have an open line here, 877-996-2556. You get to win a massive prize, a one-year subscription to the Molloy Show podcast. Downloads, commercial-free, it's yours. Every day, even on the days when we're not here, you'll get something. I don't know. 877-996-2556. Music. That means time for podcast trivia here on the Malloy Program, where you can win a one-year subscription to Malloy Show commercial-free podcast downloads in your email every single day. And then you can do with it as you are so inclined. All you have to do is come up with the right answer to our podcast trivia question. Kathy, do we have some contestants? Yes, we do. Well, let's start with the first one. Mike is in Buffalo, New York. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm okay. Now, this is these are going to be lengthy questions. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right, here we go. Arizona Senate Tor and Minority Whip John Kyle asserted that abortions comprise 90% of the business of Planned Parenthood, when in fact that number is 3%. An 87% exaggeration. His staff admitted, quite frankly, that Senator Kyle's statement was not intended to be factual. Stephen Colbert got the ball rolling with his brilliant satirical tweets on this topic. So with a hat tip to Colbert, which of the following statements is factual? Here we go. One, John Kyle is hiding Obama's birth certificate in Cheney's undisclosed location. Two, 90% of John Kyle's video library is comprised of dusty old episodes of The Jerry Springer Show. Three, John Kyle hired an illegal immigrant to build a rock wall around his Arizona home to keep out illegal immigrants. And four, John Kyle tried to insert a fake conversation he had with Senator Lindsey Graham into an amicus brief he wrote for the U.S. Supreme Court in Hamdan versus Rumsfeld. Which is it?
Wow.
Yeah.
Mike, I say A, or the first one.
That John Kyle is hiding Obama's birth certificate?
No, I'm sorry. That was the underwear one.
Let me go through them again. These are lengthy.
Okay.
A, or one, John Kyle is hiding Obama's birth certificate in Cheney's undisclosed location. B, 90% of John Kyle's video library is comprised of dusty episodes of The Jerry Springer Show. C, John Kyle hired an illegal immigrant to build a rock wall around his Arizona home to keep out illegal immigrants. Or D, John Kyle tried to insert a fake conversation he had with Senator Lindsey Graham into an amicus brief he wrote for the U.S. Supreme Court in Hamdan versus Rumsfeld. Which one of those statements is factual, A, B, C, or D?
I'll say C.
That he hired an illegal immigrant to build a rock wall. No, I'm sorry. That's not it, but nice try. Nice try. These are a little wordy, and they're a little dense, and way to go, but maybe next time. Mike, thank you. I appreciate you giving a shot at it. All right, Ben in Spokane, Washington. Are you ready to try this?
Hi, Mike. Yeah, sure. Let's give it a shot.
Okay, you want me to? I'll read it again.
Well, you don't have to.
Okay, is it A, B, C? I'd rather not, frankly.
If it's the same question, I'll go with D.
Yeah, well, you got it. All right.
A.
It is D. Thank you for not requiring me to read the damn thing all over again.
No, I want to hear you move on to something good.
Really? Well, let me explain D here, because I didn't know this. Kathy's research department came up with this. In 2006, Kyle tried to deceive the Supreme Court by sneaking a fabricated debate. He made this all up. That he had with Lindsey Graham about the treatment of detainees at Gitmo. He put all this untrue stuff into an amicus brief that he filed with the court. Now, to make matters worse, the fake debate included banter and interruptions from another senator to try to fool the Supreme Court into believing this was all real. In fact, the brief he submitted to the Supreme Court directly implies that the debate was live, again proving he cares nothing about facts or the public record. Now, I didn't know about that, but, you know, I say a lot on this program that Republicans are liars, and John Kyle is right there at the head of the pack. Can you imagine? I mean, it must take some nerve to fabricate an amicus brief that you're going to file with the United States Supreme Court, and all of it is made up. I mean, who does that? Shouldn't there be, isn't there a law against that? I mean, I don't know. My God. Anyway, you're right. The answer's D.
Yeah, these folks are unbelievable.
with the capital UN. All right, hold on a second, Ben. Kathy will get the pertinent information. Congratulations. I'm glad you won. Whew. That is the wordiest trivia question and answer that I think we ever had on this program. Did I mention this hour is sponsored by Soldiers for Peace International? Thanks to that organization. God. Which one is that? I mean, think about it. I didn't know that. I had no idea. You know, Kathy dug this information out. That he made up, not only did he make up the conversation between Lindsey Graham and him, he had to include Lindsey Graham into the lie. I don't think Lindsey Graham knew about it. If he did, then he's a liar. Well, he's a liar anyway, but they placed in the transcript that they filed as a part of the amicus brief incidental comments from other people, allegedly, who were there when the deposition or the statement was taken. They made up not just the conversation between Graham and Kyle, but they made up voices, more or less, that were in the immediate environment that were commenting on what was being said. I mean, if that is not a pathological liar, then what is? And people still try to give me a bunch of hell about my constantly saying Republicans are liars. Oh, Lindsey Graham knew about it? Maybe. Yeah. Okay. Maybe he knew about it, Kathy said, but it was definitely John Kyle's artistry. Carl in Castro Valley, California. Mike, your observation that the little Republicans need someone to tell them what to do has a lot of good science behind it. Don't lose sight of that one. Mike, you need to get your listeners to read a free ebook called The Authoritarians by Bob Altemeyer. It is scholastic genius. He explains studies that point out how gullible these poor bastard Republican types are and how much they ignore the truth just so they can continue to believe their blessed liar leaders, Carl and Castro Valley. All right, please don't email me and ask me the title tomorrow. It's The Authoritarians. The Authoritarians. It's by Bob Altemeyer, but all you need is the title, The Authoritarians. And it's a free ebook, huh? I think I'll check that one out. If it's free, right? Okay, we'll take some calls now in the program. If you'd like to call in, 877, was that thunder? Good God, that's loud. All right, well, we're going to try to stay on the air, but you never know. Just go to the Weather Channel, look at what we're dealing with. 877-996-2556 is the number if you want to comment on anything. What else do we have here? Paul Krugman's column today, Who's Serious Now? Ripping Paul Ryan a new body orifice. Who is this guy? Who is this Paul Ryan, the chairman now of the House Budget Committee? Where do these people come from? What else we got here? Oh, yeah, the bit here about the Nuclear Regulatory Agency, NRC. commission. We'll get to that a little bit later, too. Okay, Rick is in Coos Bay, Oregon. Hey, Rick.
Hi, Mike. How you doing? Yeah, I forgot to include a message when I sponsored this hour about what Soldiers for Peace International is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, thanks for the sponsorship. What is it?
Well, we're an anarchical organization organizing on the Internet of individuals who are working for social justice in any way that we want as individuals and members of groups. And the idea is to try to link them together in a virtual network that is a virtual army for peace.
What's the website?
The website is soldiersforpeaceinternational.org.
Soldiers for Peace, all written out, international.org.
Right, right.
Hey, hold on a second. Let me put you on hold, Rick. I got to do a commercial break here. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
The wind at my back, I'm on God's speed. He's got moving on with the southern east, and he's cooling down, moving on from town to town. Well, he's standing in line at the welfare window, but the tape wrapped around the building is keeping him from moving on.
Arm yourself with the truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. We're talking with Rick in Coos Bay, Oregon, who is the sponsor of this hour, Soldiers for Peace International. All right, where were we?
I was just talking a little bit about what we are, which is an anarchical network of members from around the world who are working for social justice in a variety of ways, like fighting government corruption.
Mm-hmm.
Here in the United States, my personal mission is to work for the abolition of corporate personhood.
That's a good cause, yeah.
Yeah, I'm on the National Council of Alliance for Democracy. We're having a big event in Portland tomorrow, Portland Rising.
Oh, really?
And yeah.
What time and where at?
You caught me. I think it starts at noon, and it's at Pioneer Square.
Pioneer Square?
Yeah, everybody in Portland knows where that is.
Okay, cool.
Pioneer Courthouse Square.
And the website is soldiersforpeaceinternational.org?
Yes, and anybody can join us on Facebook as long as they believe in nonviolence and that ending war is possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it sounds like a noble cause. Did you mind if I ask how old you are, Rick?
52.
You're 52? Oh, my God, I thought you were in your 20s.
No, I actually ran for the U.S. Senate against Ron Wyden last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm pretty dedicated to the cause. I'm a veteran, and I was a VA psychiatrist. I know what the cost of war is.
Yeah, I hear that loud and clear. No, the only reason I asked your age is you sound very, very young, at least on this phone call. And I was about to say, well, thank God we have some young people, you know.
They're the ones we most have to reach. They do not understand that America is fascist. And we need to get that message out.
That's very true. I don't know where the young people are. I'm not talking about all of them, because there are a lot of people under the age of 25 who are, you know, busting their butts to try to work for social justice. I'm not, this is not a blanket indictment of a whole generation. I'm just saying, I hate to reference the 60s, but what the hell, the whole attempt at social revolution in the 60s was led by young people, and
that's because they all face the prospect of going to war.
That's
or
true.
Their boyfriend.
That's
and
true. That's very
it's quite
true.
Quite different now, and these kids that grew up in a fascist environment, they don't recognize it.
I think
What's
that's
sad
part of it.
Is that
yeah.
The adults don't recognize it.
Yeah.
How can they know if we don't teach them?
That's true. That's very true. Well, thanks for the sponsorship, and I hope a lot of folks will go to soldiersforpeaceinternational.org. Thanks a lot, Rick.
Thank you, Mike. Bye-bye now.
All right, take care. Well, there you go. SoldiersForPeaceInternational.org. I haven't been there. I'll probably go during the break here at the top of the hour, but check it out, see what it's about. Email here from Mark in Prairie du Sac, Wisconsin. I'm going to get 40 emails now telling me how badly I blew that one. Mark writes, Mike, for some reason, Lincoln's second inaugural address passed through my mind listening to you tonight. Then what I thought, what the current crop of right-wing freaks think. Here's what Lincoln said. With malice toward none, with charity for all, a just and lasting and a lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations. Here's what the Republicans say. With charity for none, with malice toward all, an unjust and an everlasting war among ourselves and with all nations. P.S. I hope to piss off some teabaggers tomorrow when they rally in Madison. There's a teabagger rally in Madison, huh? Well, if I were in Madison or in the immediate vicinity, I might take a bag lunch and go to the teabag rally tomorrow and have some fun. Chuckle, chuckle. Jackie is in Paducah, Kentucky. Hi, Jackie.
Yeah, hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. First of all, I used to listen to you in Chicago, so I'm glad to find you on America's left again.
Well, thanks for that. Chicago was a million years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was for me also.
Yeah.
I'm calling tonight because, you know, my concern is this whole thing started under Reagan. Mm-hmm. Maybe under Nixon, was dumbing down the American society to the point that Americans really don't think anymore. And now we have a contrived debt crisis. I don't think that we're really in as much debt. If we go back, we take away all of the tax cuts. Hold on, Mike. I'm getting an echo. Hold on.
Sure.
Okay, I'm sorry. Wait,
Jackie. Now we can't understand you.
If we get rid of all the loopholes in the tax laws for what I would call the fascists, then I think we have a balanced budget, and we don't have to take away Medicare or gut Social Security the way the Republicans are saying we should.
No, of course not. Just collecting the corporate taxes. I just read something yesterday, New York Times. Germany is thriving while so many countries in Europe are facing the same kind of horror that the United States is facing. One of the reasons Germany is doing just fine, thank you, is because they have a 50% income tax on the wealthy, 50%. They collect the corporate taxes that are owed, and they insist that people pay their taxes. It's just very simple. There are no loopholes. There are no ways for the wealthy to weasel out. And because of that, Angela Merkel, the prime minister, or would be prime minister of Germany. What's her position? Anyway, Angela Merkel is the head of a government, a country, that is doing just fine, while most other members of the European Union are struggling. And that bit about making the corporate bastards and the wealthy pay their taxes, we don't do that in this country. And you're right, we could eliminate not just the budget deficit, but also the national debt if the freeloaders would just get off their asses and do what they're supposed to do. Man up and pay your taxes. But I don't think they'll do it, Jackie. I got to leave it there. Thanks, Jackie. Appreciate you checking in. We'll be right back. back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Program. This hour is sponsored by Andrea, the substitute teacher in Fresno, California. Andrea writes, if you paid your taxes and you like Mike Malloy, thank you. The true taxpayers helped me receive my earned income tax credit so I could buy my kids' shoes, pay the rent, and stock my cupboards full of canned foods. Thank you, Mike. I need your voice. I made too much for food stamps, but my country gives me health insurance. Thank you. Signed, Andrea, the substitute teacher in Fresno, California. Thank you, Andrea, for the sponsorship. Bruce writes in, Bruce Enberg, Prairie 2, regarding birth certificates in Phoenix and all that, or Arizona, all that crap. He writes, the red states like Wisconsin, oh God, now require state-issued photo ID to vote. And to get a state-issued photo ID, you need an official birth certificate issued in the last few years with the new security features. Guess what you need to get one of these new birth certificates? A state-issued photo ID. Oh, catch 22 cubed. Oh, my God. Something Yossarian came up with. In Wisconsin, you need a state-issued photo ID to vote. To get a state-issued photo ID, you need an official birth certificate. To get an official birth certificate, you need a state-issued photo ID. Damn. We have a law like that here in Georgia. You know, we have to show a state-issued photo ID here. So, you know, we just use a driver's license, but that's funny. There was a lot of resistance to that when it was passed during the reign of Sonny Perdue. Sonny Perdue was our governor for 8 years. We now have, I forget our governor's name now. What the hell is his name? He was going to be charged with all sorts of violations by the U.S. House, and he resigned and ran home to run for governor. His whole family is corrupt. He's corrupt. His family's corrupt. They run scams that are not on the Bernie Madoff scale, but... who's our governor, Kathy? What's our governor's name? Yeah, you do. What is it? No, what's our governor's name? Come on. Help me. Yeah, what's his name?
Bill Miller.
Kathy doesn't know. You don't know our governor's name? I don't either. This is ridiculous. He's been governor for what? I don't know, better part of a year? Tweedle J. Whackbottom. who is the governor? Will somebody please, Governor Dumbass? No. Who's our governor? I can't think of the name of the governor of Georgia. Nathan Deal! Thanks, Tim. That's ridiculous. I mean, of course, we don't care. I mean, there is no point for me to give a tinker's damn who the governor of Georgia is. I have no interest in this. The Georgia House and Senate and the governor's office and every single executive office, state office in the state of Georgia is run by a Republican. The school districts are losing accreditation. Property values are disappearing. Businesses are leaving the state in droves. It's just astonishing. And yet people down here continue to vote these filthy bastards into office. What's it going to take, people? Hey, citizens of Georgia, you who vote for Republicans, What are you going to do? I mean, well, what's they just passed an immigration law here that was modeled on Arizona's immigration law. There's an exemption, though, I believe, if you hire illegal Mexicans to work in your business. You see, if they work in your business, not if you have a big business. I'm talking about if you hire them to mow your lawn or clean your swimming pool or take care of your babies. There's a hole big enough in the immigration law to drive a Republican truck through. But, you know, I have no interest, none, zero. And I guess that makes me not a very good citizen of the great state of Georgia. Like I give a damn. You know, like I give a damn. I gave up on this state when Zell Miller had a complete nervous breakdown. Zell Miller, at one time, was a damn good Democrat. He really was. He was a populist Democrat when he was governor. When I worked for a newspaper down here, I used to write about him, and I thought he was really just kind of an ass kicking populist governor from the mountains in North Georgia, with cowboy boots and all. Talk like he had a mouthful of boiled owl droppings, but he was still a good, you know, he's a good governor. And then he went insane. He got elected to the U.S. Senate. We got appointed to the U.S. Senate. We had a senator die down here, didn't we? What happened? Yeah, and Zell was appointed, and then he got reelected, and then he decided that the Democratic Party had left him. So he went insane. Zell Miller had a complete break with reality, just totally insane. And now, coming up, I think, this month, he and the current governor, what's our governor's name?
Nathan Deal.
And the former governor, Sonny Perdue, they're all getting together to hold a fundraiser for Newt Gingrich's presidential thing. Zell Miller. I used to be friends with Zell Miller. And his son, a good friend of ours. I just saw his son at a funeral, you know, over at Chuck's funeral, memorial service, whatever. Folks is dying down here in Georgia. They're just dropping like flies, I swear. I don't know why I'm talking about this. Never mind. What's our governor's name? Nathan Deal. Yeah, that's right. It's because of what Prairie 2 wrote. In order to get a... Never mind. I'm not going to do it again. It just makes me dizzy. It really does. It just ran around in circles. Where are we? Right here. Jeff is in Montgomery, Alabama. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing today?
All right. How are you?
I'm a little mixed. I finally found a full-time job after 10 months of searching, and my parents back in Michigan owe $14,000 in medical bills.
Oh, my God. And to top it all off, did y'all get any of those hurricanes or tornadoes tonight?
Yeah, we got a tornado warning over here. It grazed us near the airport and didn't hit the Carriage Oaks neighborhood. So
you're okay?
We're A-okay.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad you got a job.
Yeah, no more re-enlisting for me.
Hey, hold on a second. I got to do a break here, Jeff. I'll come right back after we do no more re-enlisting for me. I like that. Ah! All right, stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
As long as you pray and salute the flag and fall to our knees for a Jesus.
is the voice inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
I like that one, the voice inside your head, right? This hour is sponsored by Andrea, the substitute teacher in Fresno, California, who thanks the True Taxpayers for helping her receive her earned income tax credit so she could buy her kids shoes, pay her rent, and fill her cupboard with canned goods. Andrea, the substitute teacher in Fresno. Thanks for the sponsorship, Andrea. There he is, Stephen in Burbank. Hey, Stephen.
Hiya, Mike. I have a confession.
Yeah?
You are my favorite, and if I try to downplay it sometimes, I'm sure you'll understand.
Sure.
But I called about Manning. This guy is a hero. He's been there, what, 9 months already?
I think so.
And the speculation is that they're trying to get him to confess to the connection with Julian Assange.
Right, conspiracy.
And he's bearing up under it. And what we can do is put some barbecue sauce on Obama's feet and say, this is totally unnecessary. You're trying to tell us that you're trying to act like a progressive. You're trying to tell us that you believe in human rights. And, you know, let's just put it out there, knock it off with the stupid stuff. And then, Mike, I'm hearing guys on our side saying, well, what about state secrets and all that? You know, but the thing is, it's big money that pits nation against nation.
Well, you know, the answer to that, Stephen, there were no state secrets.
I know,
These are just cables that the media, or the newspapers anyway, are constantly using. Cables about Syria, cables about Egypt, all kinds of State Department cables back and forth where the truth is out. There are no state secrets here. This is just stuff that the government, our government, under several administrations, just didn't want anyone to know. They're deceiving, deceptive, lying bastards. And, you know, you have somebody like Bradley Manning who sees this, and he's in the military. He's a whistleblower. He understands the deception that's going on. So allegedly, he releases the files to Assange, who then puts him up on a website. So there were no state secrets, and I always make it a point. I usually don't talk to people about this out in the real world. I'm afraid I'll get in a fist fight or something, but I try to make it a point to make sure people understand there were no state secrets here. This is not top secret stuff at all.
Obviously, and Mike, in a decent world, there are very few things that should be secret. One of them is planning a surprise birthday party and then the gifts wrapped under the Christmas tree and stuff like that.
That's
There's
true.
Where you get your secrecy. That's where secrecy really counts.
That's it. That's about it. Unless you're planning to invade another country and you don't want them to know early enough so they can set up a defensive perimeter, you know, I guess then you would want secrecy, right?
Well, only if you're the guy cashing in on it.
Well, that's true. I mean, you know, if you're Halliburton or, you know, one of these other I don't know.
It's the money delete. What else is there?
It's just madness, isn't it, Stephen?
Oh, your caller from Soldiers for Peace International.
Yeah.
I heard his age, 52.
Yeah.
And I immediately thought, the good fighters never quit. I myself happen to be 60. I'm only 60 and a half years old.
Wait, you're 60?
60, yeah, 60.
Oh, for Christ's sake. I thought you were in your 30s.
Well, the deal is this, see, is like I am emotionally underdeveloped, you know. I didn't mature.
No, but all of y'all have such young voices. I can't get over this. I swear, I thought, Stephen, that you were in your 30s. Well, I'll be damned.
Yeah, Sanchez thought that, too. He thought I was short and fat.
How do you know he thought you were short and fat?
Well, I'm not, because we just happen to know each other personally for almost a year and a half now.
Oh.
And, you know, when I gave him the shout-out, it was like I never knew him personally then. And then, you know, he gave me the shout-out, and then I found out where he was going to be, and I stalked him. You know, and I've made his life miserable ever since.
Yeah, well, that's good. You know, somebody has to do that kind of work.
For sure. But what adds to it is I was also a public entertainer. I would play an electric bass guitar. Well, I wouldn't play it. I'd cause the strings to vibrate, and people like it and give me money. But I had a microphone, and my backups were for noise, you know. It was terrible. But during the breaks or between songs, I'd say, people of the world, unite. You have nothing to lose but your chains. He took the guy took the microphone away. Yeah, I don't have the microphone anymore.
Sounds like you just have nothing but fun, Stephen.
Well, I don't know. 50 hours a week, 45, 55, 45, 55, every other Saturday.
Yeah.
And whatever extra I get, the good fighters never quit.
That's true. That's very true. All right, Stephen, stay in touch.
Okay, boss.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate your phone call.
On the contrary.
All right. Take care. What the hell is he saying? Stephen in Burbank. 60? I swear to God, 60 must be the new 40, right? God, these guys sound young. Just like Bob Kincaid from the Horn Hit on Radio Network. I always thought he was like maybe in his early 30s, and then we met him on the boat. We'll be right back. I'm telling pre-September, I lean on in the loop to help them unremember.
Shadow in the footage, it was probably me. I'm the rumor, I'm the doubt, I'm the lie. But you wouldn't stand near me if you didn't want to die. Everything you know is wrong.
Misinformation.
There's a verse missing out of this song.
Misinformation.
Everything you know is wrong.
What bothers you?
All the willow winding path.
From the moment you wake and leave the house in the morning, the terrorists or Democrats strike without warning. So to your backseat in bed, wear a bucket on your head. That's what I said. And to show your support for right-wing ideology, the raids on Iraq and the rape of the ecology, while the treasury's being bled.
Arm yourself with the truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
You won't need any eye holes. They'll just tell us what we see.
25 before the hour. Doc, by the way, this hour is sponsored by Andrea, the substitute teacher in Fresno, California, who says if you paid your taxes and you like Mike Malloy, thank you. The true taxpayers helped me receive my earned income tax credit so I could buy my kids' shoes, pay the rent, and stock my cupboards full of canned foods. Thank you, Andrea, the substitute teacher in Fresno. Who put the earned income tax credit together? Was that under Nixon? It's one of the best pieces of tax legislation I think ever passed. Doc sent this to me. I remember it all. It took 204 years for these United States of America to build up a $1 trillion debt. And that includes two world wars, Korea and Nam. In just 12 years of Reagan-Bushonomics, it quadrupled. That means when Bush Sr. left office, 8 years of Bush Sr., 8 years of Reagan, the debt was $4 trillion. Clinton struggled to get that massive debt under control and finally built up 3 years of surpluses, which Bush, Cheney, and Tom DeLay quickly squandered on tax cuts for their rich friends. When Bush Jr. left office, the debt was around $11 trillion. That means George W. Bush heaped $5 trillion more onto the debt. So the first $11 trillion in debt since the founding of the nation, $8 trillion came to us courtesy of the Reagan-Bush-Bush administrations. And, of course, Dick Cheney famously said, Reagan proved deficits don't matter. Jesus said, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. It doesn't matter what the neocons say now. What matters is what they did when they were in power. The only president in recent history to actually pay down their debts was a Democrat. Well, of course. And this is the part that drives people like me totally over the edge. There are probably 50 million brain-dead Republicans out here who don't have a clue, who have no idea. If you point these facts out to them, just like one of our emailers said tonight, it doesn't matter. They don't process it. The information is in front of them. The facts are there about what Reagan Bush did. And they don't care. It doesn't matter. No, he's from Kenya. I mean, it's you might as well be talking to a goddamn tree. No, a tree would probably respond. It's just astonishing. Why are you Republicans so stupid? So just and just willfully ignorant. You embrace your ignorance. Oh, I already said that tonight. Never mind. There I go again. You know, I've got to get to the point where, you know, these clowns are just that, clowns, Republicans, whether they're in office or vote to put the other clowns in. That's it. It's a clown show. The only problem with this clown show, it could kill us all. That's the problem. Yeah, these are murder clowns. These people are just totally, completely insane. I mean, I don't know how else to see it. Totally. Charlie is in Hannibal, Missouri. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you again. Love your show.
Thank you.
Calling regarding, it's time we wake up the low information voters and those that we want to call stupid or just whatever you want to call them. I don't know. I'm driving a truck right now, and I've been doing this, unfortunately, for 4 years because I lost my corporation 4 years ago. I can thank George Bush for 50,000 corporations closing their doors and seeing what we pick up as truck drivers out here. Truck driving industry used to go to manufacturing plants and pick up made in America, and now we go to warehousing districts that are big warehouses and we pick up made in China.
Right.
Back to the very back. Trucking industry, you know, unfortunately, we're faced with every fuel stop we make is an oil company, and on those televisions and every one of those oil companies is Fox opinion, if you will. we don't get facts anymore, and people are swayed by it, and they walk away stupid. Well, truck drivers need to wake up, and I think we need to turn the 30 million truck drivers around. And here's a good way to do it. We need to point out that, number one, and I got 5 points, 55 miles an hour came from Gerald Ford, which every time we do drive through California and Oregon, we're losing money at 55 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And truck drivers need to know that was a Republican policy. Current truck drivers today need to understand that the CSA that's just been put on us has been put on us by Republican Congress and George Bush. And if there's nothing more that keys off a truck driver today, it's the new CSA regulation.
Okay.
Highway funds have been cut from every Republican administration.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of driving down these roads, bouncing up and down, busting my back, and I would think that most every truck driver's got to feel that way. We want our highways fixed.
Right.
Per diem came from Ronald Reagan. Per diem, all that is that they're not paying us 25% of our income with most of the major trucking companies so that they can avoid matching our Social Security tax.
Right.
So we're actually losing money by gaining our per diem up front because the corporation doesn't have to match the per diem.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Social Security tax.
Right.
So truck drivers, there's 30 million drivers out here that are all swayed in those right-wing nutcases. And quite honestly, there was a time I was one of those. I'm a rational Republican that's voted for Democrats ever since 2000. In fact, the first person I voted for was as a protest vote against George Bush was Ralph Nader.
Mm-hmm.
We need to wake up all these truck drivers. You know, we're corporate direction in the truck stops that they mandatorily have to run Fox Network on their television. That's serious.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, Charlie, why is it, whether this is true or not, why is the stereotype for most truckers is that they are right-wing, conservative, when the right-wing conservative policies for truckers and damn near everybody else in the country is it's killing us. It's killing us financially and economically, but it's killing us other ways too. Why are truck drivers perceived as being heavily conservative?
A lot of truck drivers are say Christian, if you will. They really believe that they're Christian. Yeah. I think they're one hour a week Christian myself. But,
right.
I don't get where these, you know, where their mindsets are, why they can't figure this out, that they're being beaten up and they keep going back and taking more. Hit me some more.
Yeah, right.
They continuously vote against their own interests.
Yeah.
I don't understand it, but you know, if we keep pointing out the 5 points that I just gave you
mm-hmm.
on the radio weekly, we're going to start waking these drivers up. You know, if the left would just keep pointing out, hey guys, here's what's happening to you.
Mm-hmm.
This is who did it to you.
Right.
And if it's still doing it to you, wake up. You know, trucks rattling down the road, hitting all these bumps. Repair costs are a lot higher. There's another point.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, there are times that I get bounced out of the sleeper when it's my turn to sleep. It's like, whoa, yeah, I'm supposed to be sleeping. I can't sleep on this road.
Yeah.
And that's all over the whole country. Illinois is bad. Louisiana really sucks. Washington State. California's bad. There's a lot of states that it's just hard to drive on.
That's one thing. And Charlie, we're coming up on a break here. Thank you so much. I appreciate you checking in. I hope to hear from you again. That's one of the things about Georgia roads, though, that I have to say, we have good roads here. And for the past 25, 30 years, have had that, not just the interstates, but secondary roads also. And one of the reasons is because the Department of Transportation, the State Department, GDOT, they call it, Georgia Department of Transportation, is arguably one of the most corrupt, graft-taking, slimeball organizations in the Southeast, always has been. But in order to continue the graft flowing, they had to make sure that the roads were good. So, you know, sometimes I guess graft is okay, right? Just kidding. Thanks, Charlie. Drive safely, man. Take it easy. We'll be back. Stay with us. This hour has been sponsored by Andrea, the substitute teacher in Fresno, California, whose message is, if you paid your taxes and you like Mike Malloy, thank you. The true taxpayers helped me receive my earned income tax credit so I could buy my kids' shoes, pay the rent, and stock my cupboards full of canned goods. I made too much for food stamps, but my country gives me health insurance. Thank you, Andrea, the substitute teacher in Fresno. Thank you, Andrea. Appreciate it. And we haven't mentioned the crew here lately. The program's technical advisor, of course, is Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Military affairs correspondent, who has one of the most depressing functions with this program, that would be Sharon Gordy. Some of the stuff that she sends me is just, I don't know, just hard to deal with. Economic affairs, Bruce Enberg, Prairie 2. Kay Petrini is our education affairs correspondent. The program's ethical advisors, Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf. And Kathy Bay is our engineer and executive producer. Sanchez just sent me a picture of Sanchez and Stephen from Burbank. They're at an anti-war demonstration in L.A. Is it L.A. or is it Hollywood? Hollywood. Recent Hollywood anti-war protest, Sanchez. Now, these guys, I'll tell you what, Sanchez and Stephen from Burbank, they do have a lot of hair. Yeah, look at that. I wouldn't take either one of them on in an argument. They look pretty like the, you know, Stephen in that black leather jacket and what's Sanchez got on? What is that? A blue? That's not a tie-dyed T-shirt, is it? I think it's just a blue T-shirt. Well, that's kind of cool. I wish everybody would send me a picture so I can put a face with the names. But Stephen and Sanchez look like a dynamic duo for sure. Good photograph. Thank you, Sanchez.
They'll send you a picture if you'll turn on your camera.
No, I haven't been doing the Ustream video streaming for a while lately. I just not in the mood for it. You know what I'm saying? What else have we got? We only have a couple of minutes. Damn, I hate to start something new. No tornadoes tonight. We made it through. Thanks to our controllers in Dial Global, the syndicators who were watching over us tonight like a guardian angel in case we would have gotten hit. It seems awfully quiet outside. Maybe is it supposed to hit us at 2 in the morning when we're sound asleep? I don't know. Daryl in Montclair, New Jersey, had a comment the other night when we did church last Wednesday night. One of the stories was about this group of crazy fundamental Christians in Wisconsin. Is it Wisconsin? Who beat children as young as 4 months old because they cry in church or whatever. And the minister or the pastor or the head of this church, not a minister, that's total misnomer. Pastor too. The cult leader of this organization was one of the people arrested. They were freed on their own recognizance while an investigation is conducted. I don't know what the hell they're investigating. But anyway, Daryl in Montclair, New Jersey writes, Mike, this jackass ought to be taken out to the town square and have his bare ass beaten until he bleeds. These people are cockroaches who'd splatter Jesus' brains all over the pavement if he dared to suggest that the wealthy ought to give away their wealth to the poor and follow him. I don't give a blank what people say about this being a Christian nation. I see no evidence of it. Who needs Satan when you've got all these gun-toting, race-baiting, misogynistic, fascist crackpots? I'm sick of the bastards and keep hoping that someday the world will be rid of the lot of them. All right, Daryl, you need to not hold back. Tell me what you really think. No, Daryl and I are on the same damn page, I'll tell you. Yeah, the atrocities that are committed against children by these religious freaks is boundless. I've never seen or heard anything like it. I mean, you show me an atheist who beats his children, and I'll show you somebody who's a closet Christian for sure. Atheists just don't do that. They don't have a book that says something as perverted as spare the rod, spoil the child. Dear God. And the thing that, and I mentioned this Wednesday night, the thing that is most upsetting about this, their own avatar, these Christians, told them to leave the kids alone. What are you going to do? Hey, listen, have a great weekend. Watch out for, I'm serious, I'm not trying to make light of all these storms. Watch out for the bad weather. I'll see you Monday night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.